Greetings, it's Niamo and Clara. And we're discussing life. The nine principles of loving living are what the thoughts that are consuming me in this moment. So I'm very honored to have Clara sitting with me today, because Clara, I hold her as the consummate empowerment facilitator. And she's going to share a little bit with us, and I'm going to share a little bit with her about loving living, and I'm going to listen for the loving living, let's call them distinctions, and Clara will explain why. And so it's very, very serious. It's serious, but it's fun. So as you all know from previous, perhaps, videos of mine, the nine principles for loving living are name, praise, master, unify, serve, ask, receive, push, and expand. And for me, these are the kinds of principles that exist everywhere in every other law, law of attraction, all of that stuff comes together in these nine principles. And so Clara, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. We're not going to chat long, but tell us a little bit about how we met and what you're doing with your life right now.
Wow. So I met Miss Niamo.
She's formal.
Through the International Black Summit, which is a really powerful space of transformation and transformational work. And we're both facilitators in that work.
Yes.
And that was, wow, how long ago? It's been a minute.
2002 was Toronto, and that was my very first summit. So if you guys were there, that's when I met you.
Indeed. In fact, I think I did the prerequisite for that summit.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know that I was in that prerequisite, however. I don't think I was. But go ahead. Go ahead. Tell us what you're up to now.
What I'm up to
and you
now.
You can tell this audience, right?
Oh, here. I'll tell the audience. Okay, so what I'm up to now, I'm wearing various hats. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity in the last International Black Summit to really distinguish what a hat meant.
Exactly. You know?
And there are these things that we take on and take on in life that give us different characteristics, that give us different expression.
So, what's the International Black Summit?
International Black Summit is a place where people bring into being their vision for the Black community in the world.
I love that.
Yes. It's a really powerful space where people are in conversation about, you know, what they're up to in the world and how to transform themselves to get the things that they want and to deliver, we talk about that push expand, mm-hmm. to deliver into the world, you know, the gifts that we have to others.
Good. Indeed. So you're a facilitator in that?
I'm a facilitator on sabbatical.
Okay. Got it.
I'm definitely constantly facilitating in my own life, mm-hmm. facilitating in the lives of others, but I'm not officially holding that space in the summit right now.
Okay. Yeah. So what spaces are you officially holding right now?
I'm officially holding the space of broker.
Okay.
I'm a real estate broker for a company called NextRE, mm-hmm. and we do real estate across the United States, but we have offices in the Eastern Shoreboard, mm-hmm. in, what is it, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Delaware, and Maryland.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I'm responsible for the state of New Jersey.
Big responsibility.
Yeah, very big hat.
Are you all aware that New Jersey is the most dense state in the nation? It is a very dense state. And whatever, however many people live in 1 square mile, it's highest here. So it's a very developed state.
It is.
How does that affect you in real estate? I mean, how do you perceive?
Well, you can
how's
go.
How's business?
Business is excellent.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can go 10 blocks and you're in a different township.
Exactly.
And the challenge of that is that every township has different rules and regulations. So as you move geographically, you know, your bandwidth for information has to broaden.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And so I have to hold that not only for myself, but for the agents that I supervise. So I have agents in South Jersey, in North Jersey, and also in the Shore area.
Okay.
Work out of my office.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's one half.
Wonderful.
take off. That's my big hat.
That's your big hat.
And then the other hat that I have is I am the director of the Victorious Business and Professionals Ministry at Victory Christ Community Center. Shout out.
Say it again slowly.
Director of the Victorious Business Professionals.
Victorious Business of Professionals.
Yes. Ooh, yes. And wow. Victory in Christ Christian Center.
Victory in Christ Christian Center.
Yes.
And you're the director of what?
The Victorious Business Professionals. So that's our entrepreneurs okay. and our business professionals at the church.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. Very nice. And in that capacity, it's really about empowering people to be leaders.
Keep chatting to the
empowering people to be leaders mm-hmm. and empowering them to be leaders in the community. In our church community with a spiritual base mm-hmm. to really look at how our spirituality impacts how we interact in our customer service and our relations.
So do you have classes? What do you guys do?
Wow. We have events. We have networking events. We have a social media class coming up. Okay. Brother Navarro Wright is teaching that class. He works with BET and Google. Mm-hmm. And he's basically going to be mm-hmm. showing people how to expand their business beyond the four walls mm-hmm. and to, you know, go locally, nationally, and worldwide with their business through social media. So that's one of the workshops that we have coming up. We also do a business expo, which mm-hmm. is all of the entrepreneurs at the church get together with their goods and services and promote them to the congregation. Mm-hmm. We've also done some other workshops like around tax preparation.
Excellent.
So it's kind of a hodgepodge of different things that we provide based on what, you know, or what the membership is saying that they want.
Good. So how do you market your business? Tell me about how you share what your goals are with your business with your potential customers. How do you get yourself out there? Is it through these professional networks and through the church?
Wow. I would say networking is probably the number one source of my business.
Okay.
90
referrals and what have you?
Yeah, I would say 95% of my business is referrals. Right? People that I've done business with in the past tell other people and they call me up and they say, Claire, I want to do business with you, or this is a need or a want, you help so and so, can you help me?
Well, see, this is the importance of a good name. This is what we talk about in the chapter on name. it's extremely important for one's name to perceive one mm-hmm. in a positive light. Indeed. And that's mm-hmm. really what networking is all about, because you're casting a net mm-hmm. and then you're working it. mm-hmm. And the worst thing is to have bad news out there. Mm-hmm. Although it is said that any news mm-hmm. is good news. Mm-hmm. Because you're in front of the public mm-hmm. and the public has a chance to again look at your record mm-hmm. and be the judge and the jury in the right. moment rather than making a judgment call. There are those who actually, because your name is out there, you're being accused or whatever the scandal is, it's actually positive. Mm-hmm. So that is one reason why, that's one way that we get manipulated by names being misused. Mm-hmm. Of course.
On the other side of that is the praise, which is one of your other attributes. So as people praise the work that you're doing, and praise how you're helping, I think anytime you're helping people, that's a praise report.
That's right.
You know, and that praise report follows you and follows the work that you're doing. So that's really important.
I really hold you as a master of your craft. You took your time. Clara was a broker in California, met the man of her dreams and married him, moved back to his state. You were in Oakland, California, and you moved back here to New Jersey.
Yeah. People always ask me, how did you get to Jersey? And I'm like, I got married.
Amazing. And she took the time to start her career all over again in mm-hmm. real estate here mm-hmm. in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. New set of rules. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just walk off the street and be a broker in New Jersey mm-hmm. or any other state, because that's how real estate is. It's a kind of a clubby kind of a profession. I mean, every state has its own stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to start all over, even though the game is really the same. It's just a couple of little rules are different, but you got to start from the bottom, mm-hmm. be a sales broker, mm-hmm. a salesperson, and then you have to work yourself. You use the ultimate mastery to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And you helped me sell my mother's home mm-hmm. and buy a new home. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really, really respectful of the mastery that you show in your business and your commitment to it, because you are like Michelangelo and the David, and that marble, that the marble of life, that's your life, and you say, I know there's something beautiful here, and I am chiseling it out, and I'm a broker. And I'm a broker of record for the state of New Jersey for this company, and that's it. And you're living. It's wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. You constantly expand yourself.
Yes, most definitely. And mm-hmm. I think part of that is having a vision. Mm-hmm. And my vision has always been to be national, to teach.
Okay.
You know, because every moment is a teaching moment. And to assist people through a process that they may not think is possible, like to really look at possibility. Okay. So I look at possibility in housing.
Good.
I look at possibility in lifestyle. Mm. You know, I look at possibility in wealth and legacy building. Mm. So all of those are part, and people think real estate, you buy a house, but really, it's more than just buying a house. You're creating a home. You're creating a lifestyle. You have a legacy. You have something that's willable, an asset. You know, you're creating wealth. You own land. You know,
I mean, we hear people talk about why it's good to own a home. There's even new wisdom that perhaps it's not as good in this market. But for the long term, for the long range vision, that's what you're describing, the legacy piece.
It's the legacy
Fascinating.
Piece. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whether you do it for yourself, I just did a workshop, mm-hmm. a workshop, mm-hmm. for yourself or for others. I tell people to buy what you can afford, because even if you don't live in it, if you purchase it and rent it out, someone owns that land. Mm-hmm. Land is a finite thing. You know, people fought for land. Mm. And if you have an opportunity to be a part of the fabric, that base, you know,
yes.
of what this country and every country is built on, which is the land, you know, you want to participate in that. And
okay.
It's important. It's more, homeownership is a part of it, but the investment part, you know, like putting on your investment hat and looking at property as investment is so important as well.
And, critical.
And those are the pieces that I try to instill in my clients. I'm like, you know, this may not be the home of your dreams that you love, and maybe, you know, you're not at the point to get the home of your dreams, but you can buy an investment property, you know, live in it yourself. When you're ready to get the home of your dreams, rent that piece of property out to the next person, you know. Okay. And then you're part of the economic structure at that point. You know, in the past, I don't know if this is true. I think it was Rowan I heard say this. Mm-hmm. You know, to vote, you had to be a home. You know, you had to be.
Yes.
You had to own land.
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
You
had
own land
in the U.S. of A. Before it was the U.S. of A.
Right. Yeah, you had to be
yes.
own land or claim land, as they did back then. They
exactly.
took it.
They took land.
Essentially, they took the land, mm-hmm. claimed it, mm-hmm. and that afforded you an opportunity for a voice.
Excellent to understand, isn't it?
You know, so your voice is in your ownership. You know, your voice is in your commitment to be responsible for a part of the fabric of what we call the city or what we call the community.
So look how the mastery of oneself extends from being personally the captain of their soul. You know, a person has a skill and they master it and they do quite well. Yeah. So you have a skill. You can sell the real estate and you do that quite well. But you've developed it into a wonderful philosophy of life that is deep, that actually grabs people at their heart and soul and spirit, and has them thinking about their what they're going to leave in terms of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly a lifestyle piece.
Indeed.
And I hear that the reason I'm really listening to this mastery the way you've described it is because for those who have not had a lot of grasp or don't feel they are masters of their fate, just buying a home and being able to will that asset puts them on another level of mastery.
It does.
Now, what I'm also getting is that a person could do that with anything in their life.
Indeed.
It's not just owning a home. And we've also seen in this conversation how the master negativity definition that I also talk about in the book is there, because you're talking about people who take over like they have ownership and they manufacture that in their brain. They literally made themselves think they have ownership and forced people to believe they have ownership because they were given that power in that moment. Those moments change, I assure you. I'm very well assured and believe that the moments of mastery of individuals as well as people actually shift and transform. So certainly, as the Bible says, he was low may become rather high and vice versa.
Indeed.
And we don't need the Bible to see that, because that's history.
Right.
You know, everyone has slaved other people, and now, you know, sometimes they're the slaves. Mm-hmm. And I remind some folks that if you look into African history, and not just slavery in the West Coast, in the West of Africa, I'm not talking about that. Mm-hmm. Those people who go back to Kemet and are very proud, and it's a lot to be proud of. Mm-hmm. And people were enslaved, and they were different colors, even though that didn't matter back then. Mm-hmm. But you see how there's a cycle in life, and the cycle plays through history. Mm-hmm. And if we can have more people becoming masters of, or feeling like they're masters of whatever it is that they're being shown in that moment about themselves and their families and what to do to leave something more positive than they brought it here, gosh, that's a wonderful level of contribution that people can make, starting with themselves.
Right.
And then spreading out to the family.
Right.
And you heard it from a real estate broker. So if you don't own anything right now, you must consider it, because it's important. And let's do this. You can also leave whatever it is that you, let's say you don't have children, you don't want children. You know, it's a lot of lifestyles.
Right.
Set up a foundation. You can set up a foundation, or you can leave it to the foundation of your choice.
Indeed.
There's a lot of them that need assets. Indeed. And they may need a space. They may need your house to run their program out of.
Indeed.
So let's get creative about how we do the mastery. It's not just my master is my boss. I got to do what they say. I got to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Whatever. It's not just that. Mm-hmm. It is freeing yourself as freeing the slave yourself first. Mm-hmm. It can be that. But it's also, you know, investing in yourself, like buying property and, you know, doing well by your community, so that when you have left,
Indeed.
The legacy is there.
Indeed. Indeed.
I love that.
Indeed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got inspired. I didn't mean to use up your time. Can you share with us about what's going on personally in terms of what you're seeing for yourself? Because you had a little pushback from life when your husband passed.
Yeah, my husband made his transition.
Speak loud.
Sure can hear you. My husband made his transition in 2012. And that was it wasn't expected. I was not expected, nor prepared for that. You know, you think you're going to grow older with someone in your life, and when things change, it's a shift. It really is a shift. And one of the gifts that came out of that was the whole aspect of release, you know, and within VBP, Victorious Business Professionals, and Victory in Christ Christian Center, we have something called small groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I started a small group called Release to Receive.
Ooh!
And we had, you know, a very large house. It was over 3,000 square feet. Lots of stuff. And God just said, give it away. You know, let it go. Release it.
Mm.
And in releasing things, there's so much more that you get back. It's like when your hand is like this, when you know you open it up and let it out, then it's open, and now it's empty for something else to come into it. And so that whole gift, I gave away a lot of furniture to a young lady who was just starting an apartment, mm-hmm. and she didn't have a way to come and pick it up. So there was a guy who was coming to pick up something else from the house, mm-hmm. and I said, can you drop this off, you know, at this young lady's place? And they said, sure. They put it on a truck, took to her house, ended up helping her move. Mm-hmm. And she called me, and she was in, you know, she was so blessed by that opportunity, which blessed me.
Wonderful.
You know, it blessed me to be able to do it. And so in starting the group Release to Receive, other people started giving things. And out of that process of Release to Receive, what I got really, really present to is there is enough of everything in the universe for everyone. And there's no cost to that.
That's right.
You know, we have so much surplus in the United States. My clients move all the time and they have stuff that they don't need anymore. Mm-hmm. Someone else is moving. You know, I just, this last transaction of sales, the people who were moving, like, when you're done with your boxes, can I have them? Because somebody else is moving into a new house and they need to pack up so they can move. So, you know, just the exchange. And we don't always know about what's available, but I think part of it is that we don't put ourselves in a position to ask and also put ourselves in a position to give, and not just to the Salvation Army, but to the people who we know in everyday life. We all have things to release, and we have all have things that we probably could receive or we want. So it's just one making the request. And so that broker hat that I wear, it's not just about real property, real estate, but it's also about other types of, you know, commodities. I'm a broker in life, you know, I broker relationships, you know, I broker resources, you know, giving from this person to that person to this person, just being that pass through, you know, really being that pass through for people to receive and being that service.
So how did you come up with that idea, Release to Receive? How did that germinate? Tell me the When did the light bulb go off? I want to hear about that moment.
Wow. It was in moving, you know, when I decided to sell the marital home, you know. And it's like, what do I do with all of this stuff? I just didn't want to give it away. Like, I wanted to give it away, but I wanted to give it to people who I knew would appreciate the gift that it was. I wanted to give it to someone who had a face that I could see.
Right after Edwin passed, that's when it came to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the group started, and it's funny because people wouldn't physically come to the group, but they're like, I have this, and I have that, and people call me and say, I have this, and I have that, you know, or I need this, or I need that, and then, you know, this Release to Receive highway started, you know, and it's continuing to go.
I love it.
You know, and so that to me is what brokering is about, you know, putting a need with a want, you know, being that level of service for that to occur.
Serve is one of the principles that is, it's the fifth principle of all the nine principles of thought, that serve shows up in so many dynamic, interesting ways. Indeed. And it's funny because release is inside of serve. Mm-hmm. It's inside of almost all of them. It's inside of all of them. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful way of serving. It's a wonderful way of asking the universe to help you move on. Because the reason I say that is because the ask is the next principle, and then receive is the principle after that. And so you have to find a way to just gently goad yourself to transform from one position to another, especially when it's a loved one who's passed away and everything has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. It's like you now call something different. People want to call you a widow. Mm-hmm. You know, they have names for you now that are different. Mm-hmm. You have to decide whether you're going to keep the same name. Mm-hmm. You know, you've praised the condition. You're still praising everything that occurred. Mm-hmm. And you're discerning what it is. Like you said, you want to keep or want to let go. Mm-hmm. Mastery is the ability to discern and make judgments about anything. Mm-hmm. So choice and decision-making and choosing properly and all those kinds of qualities that have us make decisions and release ownership of the outcome are what are inside of Master. The alternate name that I had for Master was Judgment.
Mm.
Yes. Wow. You see, because the nine principles come from this ancient prayer, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's in the name of the Creator, most gracious, most merciful. Mm-hmm. All praise is due to the Creator, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Mm-hmm. So most people are like, oh, you know, it's fire and brimstone stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, in every moment, each of us is making fire and brimstone decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's like, or, you know, in other words, not just fire and brimstone, certainly not. Mm-hmm. Perhaps, what's the opposite of fire, you know, waterfall and brimstone, or waterfall and fire and brimstone type decisions, you know, which choice is actually going to be the one to make us feel better in the next moment. Mm-hmm. And but I realized that the judgment word is so laden, and people don't associate it with choice as much. But just as you're a broker and you're helping things move from one section to another and one state, one level to another, judgment helps us do that. And we make judgment calls often, right? You know, we decide. Like today I said, I really have to prepare for Clara to come early. I really have to prepare for the guy, the new tenant, to come early. And I just, I don't know what I was doing. But it like got to be 3 o'clock and I just got one of those things done. And so it was like all of us were moving at a different pace. Mm-hmm. And if we surrender ourselves, mm-hmm. if we submit ourselves mm-hmm. to the flow of what's going on, mm-hmm. we don't have to spend a lot of time in judgment calls. Mm-hmm. We just make a considered decision. Mm-hmm. And as the pundits say and the gurus say, we can feel good about the decision in that particular moment, mm-hmm. making sure our joy is kept high, mm-hmm. that, you know, we're feeling peaceful, mm-hmm. and that's usually enough mm-hmm. for everything else to just flow. Right. Right. We don't have to worry too much about, oh, she said she'd be here 1 and it's 4. So I released it.
Thank you.
Just as you did. Yes, yes, yes. You know, namaste. So it's something that you've gone through, that and that release project that you did. That should be like a national movement. I love it because I have things that I told you about, that bench of my mother's and my mother's antiques. I'm wondering what I should do with them. And I'm like, oh, I would love something in exchange for them. I don't want to just let them go. They're worth something. and what's apt to master is unify. Mm-hmm. So it's like hearing what my community is doing. I know that there are solutions to everything. Everything's mm-hmm. in the circle. Mm-hmm. Another mm-hmm. friend has that on her signature as part of her email. Everything is in our circle. Indeed. And so we don't have to look that far for Indeed. Solutions.
That's so true. But that's the release to receive. Everything is in the circle. And that was also my wedding vow.
Yes.
Circle of love.
Good.
Giving everything, losing nothing, gaining all.
Ah. You know, did you write your vows?
Yes.
That was part of that.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Uh-huh. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, that was part of that. So everything is in the circle.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing, I mean, no one should want for anything.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we discuss in Unify. I think I bring up this example of a European anthropologist, perhaps, who gave a fruit to some group of African children, mm-hmm. and for them to determine how they were going to cut it up or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was actually a contest, and that was the prize. And what they did was, whoever won, mm-hmm. but that person, that kid shared the fruit with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it was like, they were amazed that mm-hmm. that was the way it was resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, I got it, so I'm not going to share it, mm-hmm. but sharing is natural inside mm-hmm. of Unify. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Unify comes from, you alone we serve, mm-hmm. you alone we ask for help,
mm-hmm.
You alone we worship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the you alone that is the Unify. You know, we must unify with our oneness, mm-hmm. and our oneness only always begins with ourselves. We can keep it out there if we like, mm-hmm. but it comes down to really in the heart and in the heart center and as deeply as possible, us feeling an affinity and an alignment with what we call you alone in that particular part of the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, whatever you call it, universe, God, Jesus, you know, whatever. You can call it whatever you want. I don't even care what you call it. the all, the source of all sources. There are myriad names that we can use for that thing where we are certain everything is well. That's the key. To be very sure that thing, that whatever name we call it, ensures that I am well. Mm-hmm. Things are going my way. Mm-hmm. Everything is for my good. These are the thoughts that we have to have, because the unity and us unifying with the unity is a principle that will keep us focused on being open to receive new ideas, like what you just gave me to do with my mother's antiques. Mm-hmm. Like I perhaps should keep them, mm-hmm. but I want to know what they really were, mm-hmm. you know, before I do a release to receive event. I'm afraid to do that event and give away something, and then, you know, but that's silly, right? Well, I'm not afraid.
The release to receive is really inside of our excess. So I said, there's something in the
excess.
It's in the Jewish culture.
Yes.
And there's a cup. It's like a cup up here. Mm-hmm. So you have a. Does that work better? Mm-hmm. You have a thing. And you're pouring. I'll use my spoon as an example.
Okay.
You're pouring into yourself.
Yes.
Your cup.
Uh-huh.
And you pour into your cup, and at some point your cup is full.
Yes.
And then it begins to, you know, overflow.
Yes.
And you have all of this excess that's now in a saucer.
That's right.
And most of the time we slosh around in the excess, you know, or the excess spills out of the saucer. And,
yes.
You know, it's really excess. We don't have a need for anything more than what's in the cup.
Yes.
That's enough. We're full.
Yes.
Basically, we're full. So releasing, when I think about it, is inside of our excess.
You know? Okay.
At some point, we have to realize when our cup is full.
Okay. See? How about that?
Yeah. And so your mother's bench may not be a cup full. That might be inside of the cup. But when you realize who you are, and when you realize when your cup is full, anything outside of that, you know, you don't need it.
That's right.
You know, okay. So in the not needing it, someone else may actually need it, you know, and you can release it and they can enjoy it and use it and, you know, you keep moving forward. So it's outside of the, you know, our oneness of ourselves, outside of, you have a term, expansion.
Yes.
Expansion is taking the overflow and having it create something else. Mm-hmm. If the overflow is just sitting and it's not being used, that's not expansion.
That's right.
You know, it's not until you take that overflow and you put it to use that it becomes expansion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's an expansion of self. It's an expansion of ideas. It's an expansion. But if it's just sitting in the cupboard not being used, there's no expansion in that. It's stagnant. Or if it's sitting in the bottom of the saucer just, you know, taking up space, there's no expansion in that. So part of, you know, using our overflow inside of expansion is just identifying what it is that we truly need for self.
Okay.
And then anything else outside of that, it's not for us, it's for somebody else.
Exactly.
Like really seeing it like it's for somebody else, it's not just for you.
Now that's what I call, in that juncture, I want you to, you can focus on yourself still. we can keep it on her. But let's share for a moment. There is a principle entitled push. Mm-hmm. And where I heard you going just now was in the push direction. Mm-hmm. Because there comes a time where it's really, I could have called it struggle. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to call it struggle, because struggle has a bad name and bad connotation, just as judgment does. Mm-hmm. And where it comes from is this last line that says, guide us in the straight path, the path of those who are blessed, not those who've earned thy wrath. So those who've earned the wrath, or even if you don't look at it that way, experience negativity, those who their vulnerabilities get the best of them, their weaknesses get the best of them. And I would love people to do less, not be attached to the verbiage. So when we say wrath can look like, you know, a tree being uprooted or a branch falling. It could be, or a leaf falling. It's still something taken away from its wholeness. So the push comes up when there's something that takes you away from your wholeness for a moment. And so rather than struggle, calling it struggle, I called it push-pull struggle. We have to push to consider something new, look at something differently. It requires us to turn a corner slightly, take another consideration. And so I heard you going there just now when you were talking about expand and how everything does expand and how when the cup is overflowing, there's just too much. We have to recognize that it's too much and that we've had enough. And there's something new to do. It's either clean it up, drink the stuff, drink the excess, or in some other way, move to the next level.
Put it to use, yeah.
Yeah. So how does something like, how do you push yourself to consider something new? We were talking about exercise before. I don't know if I should bring that up, but I recently pushed myself to start exercising more. And so that's one little area that I'm realizing I'll have a different result, because if I keep doing the same thing, I will have the same result. If I'm after a different result, I need to push myself. I need to struggle a little bit, but it's not a commitment to overdo in struggling in terms of biceps and becoming a first 62-year-old, you know, I don't even know what they call them, muscle women, because there are some of them out there.
Bodybuilder
women who are just fantastic in their 80s and 70s and 80s that are going the rounds on the Facebook and they look gorgeous. I am not one of them.
Already look gorgeous.
Thank you.
Work out for that.
But I know that the health really does require me to push myself to maintain it. And how does that show up for you? It may not be health, maybe something, some other area. How does push show up for you?
Push shows up inside of those things that I don't want to do. So exercise would definitely be one of them. I need to exercise, but I think the push is people, and we were talking about this earlier in terms of the gyms. I really, in knowing myself, got that I don't like gyms, and I spent a lot of money learning that lesson.
Yes.
But I kept forcing myself to join gyms because I thought, if I join a gym, that will make me exercise. Well, no. You know, I like to exercise in nature.
Yes.
I like to exercise at home.
Okay.
So what works for me is videos on the television or on the computer, something that I can do in my bedroom, or taking a walk, you know, getting out in nature, going to the park, walking to the park. Like, that's the exercise that would work for me. Mm-hmm. So that push is, you know, going beyond one's comfort zone to do those things that I don't care to do, and exercise would be kind of in that category.
Okay.
You know, the other push for me is in the state of transition, just acknowledging first where I am. You know, I think I was sharing with you before, I hadn't acknowledged that I'm now single. Like, I was still considering myself widow, which still has me be married. You know, and I hadn't released that hat of wife.
Yes.
You know, that hat of wife is still very present for me, even though my husband is not here. I still am operating in the hat of wife. And so the push becomes acknowledging my whole and complete self as not wife, you know, which creates an availability for and a possibility for something else.
And you actually pushed yourself not to go to the last holiday event with family,
yes,
with your husband's family.
Yes.
So that's like a choice you had to make. You had to like be concerted about saying, no, I'm not going to do that for this holiday.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was inside of, you know, memory, you know, there was just too much memory going on there for me. And, but what it did also did is it pushed me to release some more of his things. Yeah. And my friend came in from out of town. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you for all of my friends, Trina, Linda, who've come to help me to do that. My mom, to release that part of my life, you know, and to figure out, you know, continue releasing it.
Yeah.
You know, so that I can have a space that's my space, you know, just to acknowledge my space, you know, my space as a complete space for myself.
Yes, yes, good. Mm-hmm. Because there's no way to expand unless you do push through to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, that's what nature shows us.
Yes.
There are many animals and insects and plant matter, and, you know, there's concrete on the ground and a blade of grass pushes through.
Yes.
And despite the seasons and the freezing ground and, you know, vegetation or what have you comes up again in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So the four seasons teach us a lot about how to push through and know that there is beauty as well as growth and expansion on the other side.
Yeah, and the butterfly is my favorite
example.
You know, JK did this thing of change versus transformation.
Oh, please share it with us. Please. Can you try? Please.
Yeah.
So do it.
In the International Black Summit, we have, as Niamo mentioned, distinctions.
Mm-hmm.
And distinctions are like tools that you use to help you understand or to unlock some aspect of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And change versus transformation, the most explicit example for me is the butterfly. The butterfly transforms, meaning that it starts as a caterpillar, and when it's complete with its transformation into a butterfly, it is no longer what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You don't recognize it. It doesn't recognize itself. You know, it may have some cognitive memory of, of self, but it doesn't really know itself as it was because it's totally transformed. And to get to that state, you have to go through the chaos. You have to, everything has to break down into the goo of nothingness, you know, and realign itself into this new being, this new creature. Like, that's a total transformation. So when you have a transformation of thought or a transformation of being, you aren't who you were before. You know, people may see you and they think, oh, she's different. You know, she, you know. You're a different person being. Changes, okay, you know, you change your top from this color to another color to a different style, but it's still a top, you know, this top versus that top. But it hasn't really affected your beingness. You know, it's just, it's the outer cover. You did something different. You changed the, you know, you changed the furniture around. You move things around.
Okay.
That's, change is about moving things around. It's like, you know, the dice game, you moved it from here to there, but they're all still there.
Right.
So it's still the same thing, just reorganized, rearranged, so to speak. So transformation is just that complete shifting of one's thinking, of one's being, of one's actions, of, you know, who you knew yourself to be before. You know, that's transformation. Yeah. And other people see it. Not only do you know it because you're different, but other people can see a transformation. So when a community transforms itself, you know it. You know, when a person transforms themselves, you know it. You know.
This is your neighborhood broker, international broker to be. That's one of your goals, right? Speaking about change as different from transformation, from the perspective of the International Black Summit, which is blacksummit.org, if you ever want to look that up. And what I love about what you're saying is that I, at one time, felt that I could possibly be a broker. I was a sales associate, but I got totally floored and wiped out by the negativity of the brokers and salespeople that I worked with. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, all I want to do is buy a house and get out of here. Mm-hmm. It was not for me. Mm-hmm. And what I got from you in hearing your change versus transformation story is that you have to be Clara to make the transition or know how to use that gooey mess stuff that you might see in your life at in the moment. You may have to be a different person. You may have to, oh my word, the way you describe that. I'm like, oh, that's how she became a broker, because I couldn't hang, okay? I could not hang. It was not for me.
Yeah.
But look how you manage it, and you never talk about those kind of undercut type of negative pieces that I certainly experienced. Most people I know who've traveled through real estate thinking they can hang gone through.
I tend not to be a negative person. Yeah, I don't resonate with that kind of energy.
Yes.
And I do believe that every seed has a purpose.
Yes.
Every person has a purpose. Mm-hmm. So whatever your seed, whatever your gift is, you know, as you're going through your journey, you can only be what that is.
That's right.
So what's for you may not be for what's for the next person, may not be for what's for me.
That's right.
You know, so we're built for what we're built for.
That's right.
You know, and when we figure it out, oh God, that flow, you know, everything happens like with ease.
That's
it's like water running.
That's right.
When you're operating inside of your gift that God has given you, whatever that special thing is that you're supposed to do on the planet, it just, you know, then that expansion just happens and it flows. That's the gift. You know, that's the gift.
Well, thank you so much for just beautifully explaining the prize that's there for our lives if we just get closer to what it is we are to do, each of us. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you really just explained it so beautifully. And I want to thank you for sharing this time with me. And please give us the phone number where people can reach you if they need to, if they're in New Jersey and they want to sell their house, because I know you have a spiel. And it's a good spiel now. Listen up.
I can be reached at 856-264-1058. I do residential commercial sales. Mm-hmm. And I would be more than willing to assist you with your next investment in real estate.
And your phone number?
856-264-1058.
Say it again.
856-264-1058.
What about that email address?
The best email address to reach me is clarasellshomes@gmail.com.
That's always easy.
Yeah,
that's the one that's
easy to remember.
Yeah, Clara Sells Homes, and don't you forget it.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Niamh.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.